Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. If you go to MobiusStripPress.com, you can find out how you can download these podcasts and find our support documents and links.
Well, before we cover the election and the results and get into the state issues, and actually I'm not even going to get into the state issues because it'll take a little while to vet through the state results or to go through and vet the outcomes of each of the counties and so forth, just due to the process here in the state of Washington. But I wanted to emphasize the intent of this show. And I have a lot of people that have given me some feedback that they're not necessarily understanding because they don't listen to every show. And so I wanted to make sure that people understand why I'm going through all of these founding documents and why I am trying to create what I consider an irrefutable argument that the states are our solution. What occurred yesterday in the election process was not the solution. Just because we feel better, and believe me, I feel better that a corrupt person didn't get elected, but and when I say a corrupt person, they're all corrupt to some extent. Everybody's corrupt to some extent. Nobody's perfect. And anybody listening to a Christian network understands that nobody's perfect, where a progressive would take offense by what I'm saying. That being said, I am so happy that such a vile and corrupt organization that represents the progressive, the secular progressive agenda here in this republic was thwarted in their ability to seize power. So before I really get into my comments on the election, what I want to do is talk about Republic Review and the intent of the show. And so the intent here and my intent is to educate and create, like I said, this irrefutable argument. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go through these by reading the Federalist Papers, by reading the resolutions from Jefferson Madison of the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions, by reading the ratification debates and why these things are important. So let me just take a break here and speak of the Federalist Papers. What are the Federalist Papers? Well, they're a bunch of articles that were written by two gentlemen that were actually, and they were primarily written by Hamilton and Madison. John Jay contributed, but he really wasn't a contributor to the convention of the Constitution within Independence Hall. In other words, the Constitutional Convention delegates that wrote the Federalist Papers was Hamilton and Madison. And so reading the Federalist Papers starting off, because these men were probably the two primary leaders of opinion at the time. There were lots of leaders, don't get me wrong, and I mentioned those leaders who contributed to different theories and so forth in one of my previous shows. But the fact is that these guys really understood and could speak for and were willing to help promote the Constitution of the United States. And so James Madison and Alexander Hamilton wrote these Federalist Papers, and they wrote them for the state of New York because there was a lot of anti-federalists that were getting organized. And going into the New York debates of the Constitution, these men worked in the background in writing these articles to quell the arguments that the federal government was granted all of these powers when they clearly weren't. In reading the notes by Madison of the Constitutional Convention and in reading the Federalist Papers, it was clearly explained and illuminated. They clearly define just how limited the federal government or the general government was going to be. And so the Federalist Papers actually, and as I've read many of them and I've posted them on my Facebook page, go through them and read them several times. It's clear by Madison and Hamilton that the states had all power and authority over the federal government on all issues, matters, and concerns that were not delegated to the federal government. So the only few things that were delegated to the federal government are the only things that the federal government is superior on. The federal government is not superior in interstate transportation, interstate, you know, lines of communication, and so forth. They were really only responsible for post roads, and that is it, to ensure that there were post roads between the Washington, D.C., the seat of government, and the states, as well as a primary flow of postage or the postal service, but not all roads. They weren't supposed to build all roads. If they were supposed to build all roads and every road for the Postal Service, then every road should be a federal road. And that was not the intent. It was just to create a primary way for each state to be able to get to the seat of government and for the, like I said, the primary postage to be able, or the mails and letters and what the Postal Service provides and parcels, that flow to occur. But that was it, and it was very limited to that. And so anything that's concerning a roadway, a railway, or a waterway in between states or within the states themselves is the state's responsibility, and the state has the onus or the burden in ensuring that the roads are maintained, kept, and what have you. So the federal government was very limited in all these things that weren't defined. And so I could go through the list. I could start off with the Department of Interior. The Department of Interior was the first violation. The Department of Agriculture, Labor, Justice, Commerce, Education, Energy, all of these departments that were created after the federal government was established, which the only three departments it established and found necessary and proper to fulfill their roles per the Constitution, was the Department of War, what we understand is the Department of Defense today. The other one was the Department of State, which is involving the foreign relations between the federal government and other states or other foreign nations. And the third was the Treasury, to basically manage the taxes on commerce coming in. So we don't need a Commerce Department. That was the Department of Treasury's responsibility, as well as coining and maintaining the printed currency. All states are authorized the ability to print, or I should say coins, gold and silver per the Constitution, but the federal government had the responsibility of managing our currency as far as the printed dollar and backing that. And so they've been violating the Constitution in several ways, and everybody understands reading Jekyll Island, what they did and how they created the Federal Reserve, but that's not what the show is about. The show is about showing exactly how limited the federal government is. And the Federalist Papers is a great place to start, because right after the convention, the Constitutional Convention in Independence Hall, the effort became, having seen Pennsylvania go into a long knockdown, drag out fight over ratifying the Constitution and getting into all the details, reading through the Constitution and saying, what does this line mean? And what does this line mean? And so forth. Madison and Hamilton felt it necessary to help clarify and help define what those lines meant. And that's why the Federalist Papers is so critical in starting off there. The other documents that are critical that I'm going to begin getting into are the ratification debates. Why are the ratification debates so important? And I'm not going to repeat this for every show, because it would just take up 30 minutes of telling you what I'm trying to do. The ratification debates are the contractual conversation that the states had with the authors of the Constitution and asking, what does this line mean? Well, when the delegates of the Constitution, or I should say the delegates that represented that state that were in the Constitutional Convention, clearly state that the Necessary and Proper Clause only applies to powers that are within the enumerated powers, that it does not, the necessary and proper clause does not pertain to the federal government being able to claim, well, we think this is necessary, so we should be able to do this, because that would be in direct violation to what the Constitutional Convention notes Madison had and what these men discussed. And the necessary and proper clause, the supremacy clause, the commerce clause, and the general welfare clause. These are the four clauses that nefarious politicians, bureaucrats, lawyers, lobbyists, and so forth have constantly used in usurping the roles and powers and responsibilities of the state. Therefore, that's one of the reasons why in the ratification debates you'll hear and find that these clauses only pertained to the enumerated powers. If the federal government doesn't have the power enumerated to it to manage the waterways and railways and roadways and so forth and the infrastructure of the United States, then it's not necessary and proper for the federal government to do anything or even to lay a tax over the infrastructure of the United States. And so it's really important to, you know, get into these details. And so I'm going to have to do some more explaining of this show and this series of shows and why it's really important that you listen to every single show. Well, I just noticed I'm halfway through and I'm not even done ranting. As I started off at the very beginning, and I've said this several times and I'll say it again, the Constitution is a contract. And why is the Federalist Papers and ratification debates so critical for you to understand? It's because it's a contract. In a contract, if we begin discussing the details of a contract, like what this particular line means. And I used an example of a landscaper, and you just ambiguously say, I want my yard to be the most beautiful yard. I believe I said this on the first show. And that landscaper says, well, you know, how do you want me to do this? You say, I don't care what you do. I just want my yard to be the most beautiful yard in town. And if you really give a landscaper that kind of ambiguity, and then you go off to work and you come home and find that all of his gear, his lawnmower, gas, and fertilizer, and all sorts of things are inside your home, and your belongings are in your backyard or in your garage, and you go, what the heck happened? I didn't give you this authorization. And the landscaper says, actually, you didn't care. I could do whatever it took to make your yard the most beautiful. So I put all my gear here so I could focus all my time, because I'm going to make your yard the most beautiful. The framers did not create an ambiguous contract. That's precisely why Madison insisted and kept on pointing out that the Constitution is enumerated. It only grants very specific and defined powers. There is no ambiguity within the clauses that I started off in the beginning of the show. The supremacy, necessary and proper, commerce, and general welfare clauses are not ambiguous clauses. Those clauses are constrained specifically to the enumerated powers within the Constitution. So that being said, the ratification debates, as they started going through the Constitution line by line, they asked what this means and what this means. So if you understand what I'm trying to get at, and you understand contract law, and you understand that if we agree that a line in the contract means this very specifically, then guess what? That agreement is just as legally binding as the written word of the contract. It's even better is if you have the written word of that verbal agreement written down, and then you say, okay, this is what we agree this to be, then it's actually an appendage to the contract. It's an addendum or an amendment to the contract, further defining what that line meant. If you haven't had the epiphany yet, folks, the ratification debates are precisely that. They are the appendages of the contract that clearly define the contract. And go through all of the concerns that the anti-federalists and the states, more specifically, the concerns that the states had that they weren't creating this all-powerful central government that's unlimited in doing anything that it wanted to do. And that's why they kept on saying, and you're going to see these as I read these out and provide you this evidence from the ratification debates as well. The ratification debates are appendages to the contract per contract law. And the Supreme Court for over two centuries has gotten away with obscuring what the Constitution really means by not including, looking at, reviewing the ratification debates. And John Marshall was the first one. The reason John Marshall did this, and I think I've said this before, he knew because he was a participant of the Virginia ratification debates, and he understood very well that what was stated in the ratification debates limited the federal government to those defined powers. So what ended up happening was he started not ever referencing and not ever talking about what was agreed upon. He just started inserting his opinions. Well, I think the federal government has all the power necessary to do what they believe nobly they should be doing. There's no nobility delegated or given to the federal government. It is to do very specific things. It's to secure our borders. It's to take care of our national security. It is to manage and regulate, put in good order the commerce coming into the republic from foreign nations, and ensuring that our commerce flows outwardly to these nations. So, as I go through and educate people and going through this text, if you're not listening to all of these different shows, and I'm sorry for not necessarily providing too much education or references in this particular show, but I think it's important to restate this. So somehow I'm going to have to just keep reminding people at the beginning of the show that the intent of this show is to educate in providing you the irrefutable argument by documentation and evidence that the states have all the power to fix and get the federal government back into compliance of the contract. So as I go through and go forward, what we need to do in the Reclaiming the Republic process is initiating the audit process. And so the audit process is one of those things that it only requires one state to do. Once one state begins the auditing process, which is precisely what Madison and Jefferson did in the Kentucky Resolutions. They basically said, hey, you just passed a law, and we do not find this power anywhere within the Constitution delegated to you, so you are violating, by creating the Sedition Acts and these other alien laws. The Alien and Sedition Acts were a violation of the Constitution, and what Madison and Jefferson did was audited. Then they made an appeal to the other states to conduct a republic review, which is when all the states, or majority of the states, or enough states to basically admonish the federal government and slap their hands and say, you can't do this, we're not paying you to do this because this is a violation of the contract, and getting them to comply and asserting the state's authority over the federal government. That's why I've read the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions on previous shows. And so it's really important that you either listen to all these shows, or better yet, you can just go buy my books. And all of that you can find at MobiusStripPress.com. That's MobiusStripPress.com. Again, I'd be happy to sell you my books and let you take the time in reading. That's very textual, and it's a lot of meat. And I always get comments from people, wow, that's a lot. I'm really learning a lot of stuff I never learned. I can guarantee you one of the things you will learn is how this nation was a Christian nation that you've never learned before. But let me get into the election. I don't want you to think it's over. I'm really glad, again, that the Clintons lost, and that Clinton machine and the progressive machines lost, but I'm not convinced that that necessarily means that they will be held accountable for their behavior. I'd love to see Chelsea and everybody that can contributed in efforts and in taking money out of that Clinton Foundation, because I think this falls under RICO charges, that all these people should be held accountable and removed from ever being able to hold office and or positions of nobility, such as a past president. And I'd love to see the taxpayers no longer paying a pension to the Clintons, because they have committed treason. There's just no doubt. I also hope that we can clean up the cesspool. Congratulations to Donald Trump, but, and he's said a lot of things, and, you know, we have to give him time to do that. It does not necessarily mean that he is actually going to fulfill his promises. That is one of the real reasons why, you know, I'm really concerned, because I think most people go, yeah, we don't have to worry anymore. No, that's wrong. There's no way Donald Trump and DC is going to start complying to the contract. And they're going to continue to grow, and they're not going to dismantle this progressive leviathan that they have created. The only way we can do this, folks, is to reclaim the republic. That's why getting one state involved is critical. I would love to get either Montana, Washington, Idaho, one of the Dakotas, Wyoming, any state. I just get one state to start auditing the contract, like Madison and Jefferson, and I will guarantee you the landscape of the republic will be set on fire, because when the state legislatures understand the power that they possess, they're going to share it with the other states. And more states will start joining. This will happen so fast, it will be like a flash, because I truly believe that as soon as I can get one state to move forward. So I really need your help. I need your help in getting the word out, getting people to listen to the show, going to my website at mobiusstrippress.com and downloading my podcast, learning about this. Please buy my books, support the show, and support this content so that we can start holding our state legislatures accountable, because they're the ones that can protect us from federal tyranny. We are facing federal tyranny at such a demonstrable level that we are close to having a politician like Donald Trump discarding the Constitution because he thinks it's necessary and proper, and they believe that they have that power. The only way we can stop that power from being ever usurped from the states again is for the states to step up and say, no, 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 we are a constitutional republic. We've only delegated you very specific powers. And so do not be fooled into believing that what we consider the conservatives in D.C. are going to be our representatives. They're not going to be. And I will tell you this right now, that we are, you know, on the dawn of facing a constitutional crisis. Even though it seems like our guys are in and we have a mandate on the GOP. The GOP has been culpable and equally responsible for allowing the noncompliance of the Constitution to continue for over two centuries. And if the states do not stand up now, we are that close to losing our republic and literally losing our Constitution and losing our individual liberties and our individual sovereignty. I would like to thank everybody, and I hope that you go back and listen to all of these shows. I'm running out of time. I just want to say this. Congratulations, Donald Trump. God bless.